Okay, so this is it, everybody. This is our last podcast of the spring semester. It's been a fun time. We got a lot done, even with everything that's going on now. I feel like we still did a lot of good work. So figured we just kind of maybe take a look back at the past semester and just kind of talk about maybe some of the articles that we wrote and why maybe like we liked making them. Maybe some of the articles that we saw from our fellow staff members and what we appreciate about them, and just some other retrospective stuff. Does anyone have an article either of theirs or of a cl or a staff members that they want to shout out first?
I thought your Parasite review was one of my favorites to read, Cole.
Oh, that's thank you.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it was just, you could tell you really, really liked it, and then it made me want to go see the movie even more. So it was just done really well.
But have
Yeah,
you seen
same
it?
here. It was like, once you heard that review about it, you're like, well, I haven't heard about this movie, but I really do want to see it now. And it actually made it a little bit better when I was like, oh, he's right. This did, do that really well or something like that.
That was so early in the semester, I honestly don't even remember what I put into it, but I appreciate all the kind words.
Since we're on the cold train too, I'll say the egg piece that you wrote. God, I love that so much. Like, it mainly because I love that we took something that was so like not even newsworthy, and it was just a fun piece, and we just made it. Like, that's what I love the most. It's like just the most random thing. We're like, you know what? We should write about the best types of eggs, and we did. That's why I love that one.
It's what you gotta do when it's a slow news week or when you don't got anything else going on. Feel like you've done more than I can remember off the top of my head. The Justin's Lily Hyatt story is one of my favorites. I just think
Yeah, that was a fun one too.
it flows really well.
I
And just
agree.
reading through it, like how it bounces back and forth from like the actual album and the songs to her comments and like, don't know, it blends interview and review really well.
Yeah,
Thank
and like
you.
before it came out, you're kind of talking about how you like you blended the interview with the album and kind of hyped it up, and then yeah, reading it was not a disappointment.
Well, thank you. That one was really, really fun to write. That was probably my favorite article to write.
Yeah,
I'm
and it's cool
sure.
to see after like the effects that it had with writing it, how like she shouted out the article, and then like I think the record store like shouted it out too, right?
Yeah, so like she put it over all of her social media platforms, and then yeah, the record store that I met her at when she played live, Vinyl Cup, they just put it out. And yeah, I was not expecting that at all. Like, all I expected when I sent her the story in the email was like a good job. And I was like, like that alone, I would have been like, oh my God, Lily Hyatt likes my article. But no, I was shocked when everything just started. I started seeing it pop up places. I'm like, oh, okay. No,
That's super.
that was fun.
Oh, that's super cool, though.
Around the time that Cole was working on his Parasite review, I remember you, Aaron, writing about animation and how it's just gone underappreciated in that little column of yours.
Yeah.
I had fun
Yeah,
reading
that
that.
was like, yes, this was really fun to write because, like, I talked about it a little bit in my reflection made to do, but when you take something that, like, you're kind of passionate about, I guess, it's like way more fun to write because you just don't even think about it. You just, like, write down what you're thinking and you finish it. Like, some of them, like, they're fun to write and all, but it's like, I'm just kind of going through the motions and typing this. But when you have something like that one, for me, it was really fun to actually, like, touch on what I want to talk about,
Yeah, it's not work at all, really.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that comes through in the actual the piece too, like just reading it, like you can tell that's kind of how the person feels about it. Like how you guys are talking about my Parasite one, like it's very similar for me where it's like I genuinely felt passionate about Parasite, and I feel like that comes through when you read it, like it does.
Yeah. And I think for most of the ones we're like, we're pointing out that we really like, I think we both kind of said like, yeah, that was really fun to write too. And you can, like you said, really tell when you're reading it, like, oh, there's a lot of heart behind this one.
Mm-hmm. I remember reading your animation column, and it made me want to watch. Do you guys remember those like Pixar shorts? Mm-hmm. It just always, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm like reading it the whole time. I'm like, man, animation is so cool. Like, this is all I want to watch now. Like, it was really done well.
Yeah. I also liked Rochelle's Super Bowl piece when the halftime show came around with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira. I thought that her perspective was pretty valuable on it. I liked hearing what she had to say about it, especially since it was so heated at the time.
Mm-hmm. Actually, because I don't watch the Super Bowl or follow like much many other places, that's the first I was hearing that there even was a any controversy on halftime shows through Rochelle's piece.
Yeah, and like for anyone listening who doesn't know Rochelle's Hispanic, it was like kind of cool to see someone who, like most Hispanics at the time, seemed like they were really into the message that they were sending through the Super Bowl. But then Rochelle came in and was like, well, here's actually why it might not be the best thing. And it was really cool to see that different perspective, mm-hmm. like Claire said. Do we want to add any more like pieces or anything, or should we move on to our amazing TikTok fame that we got?
Well, I was just going to say, we're going on about ones that were, like, fun to write and stuff, and I feel like we should shout out the one that no one wanted to write, with the Lauren Rice piece. I think that was handled mm-hmm. really well, and, like, there was a lot of good quotes and people that chimed in on that one. It was just a really good piece.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was done very, very well, Aaron. That was a great piece.
Yeah, thank you. That one, like, again, I touched on it in my reflection, but that one was, like, the hardest to write. I mean, obviously, it was, like, a sad situation, but also, to me personally, there's a lot of pressure. Like, I was, like, I want to make this the best it can possibly be, and I don't want to, like, leave anything out or, like, you know, anything like that. So there's a lot of pressure on myself to be, like, I have to work harder than I have really any other piece for this one to make it, like I said, the best it can possibly be.
And I think you did that.
Yeah, paid off.
Well, that's good. That's what I was hoping for, so that's good.
And it probably hadn't been covered before, but, like, people listening, that wasn't even originally, like, that was going to be a different piece where Aaron was just interviewing her for the students coming back from abroad, and then the tragic things happened, and the piece evolved and became what it is, but... Yeah. Again, not one you want to make, but I think it turned out really well.
Right. And thank you again. And yeah, it was like you said, we had to kind of rework the piece. It was just a really interesting experience to go from, like, you know, doing that interview and having the piece, like, basically, like, I don't know, like 90% done almost. And then, you know, that happened. And it was like, well, now I have to almost completely scrap what I did here and write this whole other piece. Like, you know, like you said, it's a circumstance you don't want to be in, but it was really interesting to go through that experience too.
Mm-hmm. On that, we could maybe go onto a lighter note, onto TikTok, if no one has any other pieces that they want to.
Mm-hmm. Before we do that, was there any pieces that anyone like didn't like to write? Like, I know we don't really want to talk about that, but was there any ones where we were like, you know, I'm kind of just, I want to finish this one up because it's kind of, you know, for whatever reason.
I am disappointed because the one piece I was hyping myself up for the entire semester was to cover LitFest. But then with everything that was going on, LitFest was so uncertain and I had already interviewed for it. And then it was up in the air whether they were going to have it or not have it or have it digital or move it. So I like rewrote the LitFest article like 3 times with different info, and like was sitting on the same information for so long. And I eventually just kind of had to put it out as it is when they started sending out some emails about a fall different replacement. But it was just not fun having to like, it's like, it changed, but it changed so much and over such a long period of time that like, I didn't really feel good about it releasing it because it's so different than what I was originally going to do and what I interviewed for.
Right.
And yeah, it's understanding why it was kind of like disheartening and, you know, just a chore for you to get through, because the biggest element of LitFest is being there in the auditorium and listening to these writers that come from across the country to speak, and just taking that element away. There's not a lot left to write about, only what has yet to come if it hasn't happened yet, or what could have been if it's not going to happen.
And like, I wanted to do like a Q&A, like send out some Q&A questions for authors that didn't really pan out, and like, or I was going to try to like do like an in-person interview, because I was going to meet with one of them during LitFest anyway. So I was going to try to ask some questions in person, or maybe like try to do like a little podcast interview. But I wasn't able to do any of those, which was disappointing.
Right.
That could still probably work out if it, like you said, it's likely going to be rescheduled in the fall or something.
If it yes, if it happens, they're planning on bringing it back as it was going to be, but just in the fall semester, like with the same guests and everything. So it could still well happen, but it's still just kind of disappointing that, again, I had hyped myself up for it the entire time. I was like, coming in, I'm like, this is the one article I know I want to do.
Since the start, yeah.
Yeah.
But at least, like, there's some additional material to ask the authors about, ask questions about, when you finally do get to write something about LitFest.
Oh, yeah, no, for sure.
So are they going to do one in the fall and then another one in the spring then, or are they just going to do the one in the fall?
I think they're going to do... See, that's a good question. That's a question I wish I would ask. I have no idea. I would assume just in the fall, because doing fall and spring is so close together.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
They might do it in the fall and then skip a year because they'll know. Because like there were like people who were supposed to like have meet and greets with the authors that weren't able to because of what's been going on, and they already had like all this like the schedule all planned out, and they had the guests invited and tickets paid for and things like that. They might just skip a year. I could see them doing that if they know they're going to skip it, so they don't promise anything to anyone. Anyway, that was a big, big, long way of me saying I have no idea. Did anyone else have a piece that they maybe didn't particularly like working on for any reason?
I think this is just like not specific, like a specific piece, but I did write one piece about how quarantine has changed things for me and how it comes back to me being homeschooled, but only different in that I have more than just an inanimate syllabus managing my day. In general, I don't really like writing about myself. I like writing about things outside of myself, things that are happening, other people, other people's ideas. So writing about things from my perspective and how I saw them was actually pretty challenging.
Yeah, that was a really fun one to read. I don't know about fun is the right word, but it was nice to read that one because, like you said, you have such a different, like, perspective that it was really cool to read that and be like, oh, so this is what someone else is going through. Like, I know we're all having pretty similar circumstances, but, you know, Claire's going through this specific thing where she's feeling this way, or like with Cole and Justin's piece, you're like, oh, they're going through this. Like, it's all the same thing, but we have these little things that are making us have different circumstances.
Yeah, what really got me through it, and Andy, our advisor, helped out a lot in that. He said, like, I don't know if like these things used as distractions, like I wouldn't deem them as unproductive. They're still very productive, but you use that as a way to distract yourself from, say, like, things of more priority. And I go, you know what? Yeah, I do that. I just thought, oh, if it's not of my top priority, it's unproductive. But now that's what I do. I will busy myself with other things that could also be necessary to do. It's just at an unnecessary time. So that's how I procrastinate.
Right. I think for me, the one that I didn't like to write the most was the one on just like kind of colleges closing down due to the coronavirus, just because it was basically right before spring break. And that was the time when everything was so uncertain as to what was going to happen. And then like basically like hourly, there was new news coming out about like what was going to happen and like what colleges were doing. So it felt kind of weird to write it, because I was like, well, if I write this down and publish it, is it going to change in 2 hours, you know? Or is it like, what do I need to add to this article? Like, should I just finish it and be done, or should I add on? That one,
yeah, that was
like
funny. I mean, not to be mean, but it was kind of funny, because like when you first wrote it, there were only 3 cases known in Iowa, and then it like blew up to 21 in a matter of like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah. No, it is funny. You're right, though. It's like you can't even finish the piece because new stuff just keeps, even like today, like in the current circumstances we're in now, there's still stuff that it's new every day, you know, like yeah. It's never going to be a complete piece.
You can't really keep up when it's all going to be in ink.
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say that because of our circumstances, but you know what I mean.
Like digital ink.
Digital ink, yeah. Black pixels.
Did either you, Justin, or Taylor have a hard time with any of your pieces?
I didn't really. I mean, I didn't write a whole lot this semester. But like the French Chef Exchange story was pretty much the only thing I wrote. And that was fun for me. It wasn't really difficult or challenging, but it definitely was all new information, because I don't know anything about like the culinary world, so like it was kind of a challenge, but it was also fun, I guess.
Well, Mike, I always knew that DMAC, like obviously I knew DMAC had a culinary program because it's kind of famous, but like I'd never really like seen what that looked like, so that was an interesting piece too.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Thanks.
Yeah, it was just like, because same with you, Taylor, like, you know, I knew we had a culinary program, but didn't know anything about it. So it was cool to read that piece.
My favorite part about it, and it's not even in the piece, was you running across campus just to make sure the names of the chefs were correct.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
I forgot about that.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, you were like on a mission. Yeah.
Dedication.
What about you, Justin?
I like writing all my pieces, but the local musician one didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. I don't know. I think I could have gone more in depth, but I don't know. It was more of a learning experience. I think that's when, after publishing it, reading it, I was like, I could have done this better, could have changed that. And it was just more of a learning experience with that piece.
What do you mean when you say, like, you could go more in depth, like, with the interviews you did, or what was that about?
Yeah, just, like, the whole thing. I felt like I just barely, like, touched actually what is happening, you know, to those local musicians, when I could have gone more in depth, shown exactly what is happening. And yeah, it just wasn't how I wanted it to turn out. It just wasn't my best work.
Well, and it's like you have a lot of interviews in this one, which is like good, and like it's impressive to me, like there's a lot of interviews. But I guess maybe, I don't know if you feel that since there's so many interviews that you included, that maybe they all maybe felt a little more shallow than you wanted. I don't know if that's what you're getting at.
It was more like I interviewed all those people, and most of their answers started becoming the same.
Oh.
And it was like, oh, okay. So I should have went out and tried to find more people. But then it was one of those things where I was like, no, I can make this work, when I should have went and got more people and made it better. But it, like I said, it was more, it's a learning experience to grow.
Yeah, I see what you mean by, like, go more in depth, but, like, I like that one because, I mean, you had so many interviews that, like, it really did kind of shed a light on that world that I personally have, like, no connection to, so I didn't know anything about it, so it was really cool to kind of see how those local musicians are being affected and, like, how they're doing, like, Zoom concerts or whatever it was that you said. Like, it was a really cool, you know, like I said, shine a light on that world.
In a way, having so many interviews and having them kind of give the same answers also kind of puts in perspective that they're all facing the same challenges, and that it's not just, like, it's a universal problem, not just with one, like, one or two individual groups. So I still think it works as is, but I could see how it's like my Lit Fest one. It isn't really what you wanted. Like, it kind of, like, you feel like it could have been different or more, or...
Yeah, it just wasn't, I went in thinking it was going to come out one way and it came out another. It's like, oh, okay. But it's a learning experience.
As is all of this. We've all learned something.
Yeah, that's what's been nice too. Just even with the good and the bad, it's like, yeah, like you said, it's all learning experience, and it's everything that happens is like, oh, I know how I can improve this in the future, or oh, I can use this again in the future and it'll make a better story. It's just, that's one of the most fun parts of this class for me.
On that, should we move it over to Claire to talk about TikTok?
Yikes.
I was there, but I don't even know exactly how Weird Question Wednesday started.
I'll start at the genesis of it. This all started at the Iowa newspaper conference. It was in Des Moines, and the editor team, myself included, with our advisor Andy, attended. So we just sat for these little lectures and classes, like describing things. I attended the ones that interested me the most. I had a good time. Taylor and Rochelle were the social media editors. Taylor's the managing editor, and Rochelle's more the social media editor, but they're more tech savvy than me, like, so to say. And they went to a social media class, and they walked out about an hour and a half later, and they said, okay, guys, like, once we gathered in between, and they said, okay, guys, we're going to have a TikTok. And I just thought, oh, wow, like, the Washington Post, I mean, okay, I don't think we'll get to their popularity numbers, but we just kind of agreed, like, sure, like, we're just a community college newspaper, but, like, we know we'll be ironic and silly, and that was just kind of the thing we were okay with. We're just like, yeah, whatever, we'll be silly and we'll be cringy, but that's kind of the point. We just want to do something kind of, you know, silly like that, just to, I don't know, maybe at least relate to other people, or just to express creativity as a team.
Do you? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Do you remember what our first TikTok was? Because it wasn't Weird Question Wednesday, was it?
Oh, this was like a couple days after we settled on starting a TikTok. Abby pitched the idea, like, oh, you know, if we're going to, like, erase and rewrite the whiteboard, it was just going to be that, kind of like a look, this is our process. Abby was like, what if I'm just, like, sitting in the background and I'm obsessively researching Danny DeVito? So we just like, you know what? Yeah, that would be cool. Just like a little Easter egg of that. If you're looking at the corner of the screen, the edge of the screen, it's like, yeah. to our dismay, though, we didn't really get that we had to use hashtags in order to reach a wider audience with our blessing of a first TikTok with Danny DeVito in it. But, yeah, that was our first TikTok. And we started doing weird questions in general as a group, the newspaper, just because I thought, you know, as an editor, I want to start some conversation. And what better way to do that than just to ask questions? Like, either just really deeply interesting or deeply odd. So I don't know if I suggested we, like, ask people our weird questions or if one of you guys did, or maybe Andy. But we all just agreed. And we did our first Weird Question Wednesday, put hashtags on it, and we just let it be. And people liked it.
Yeah, just to interject really quick, I remember, like, I think it was the Friday after that the news conference or whatever, I wasn't able to go to that, but we came back that Friday, and I think Andy was like, yes, do we want to start up a TikTok today? And I was like, I'm sorry, what? When was this discussed? Like,
he said the T word?
Yeah, like, and I think, too, we had that, or we still do have the weird questions, like, whatever it's called on Slack, like that specific chat where you just post weird questions sometimes. And I think at that point we had, like, quite a few amassed, and we were just like, what if we just take the questions we're asking in here and just ask people on the campus and just see what their reactions are? And I think from there it was history.
Yeah, because we were just stockpiling for us. Like, I do remember that. And then, yeah, we just had so many. But yeah, like you said, I don't remember who exactly suggested it, but.
And I think the reason it kind of, like, popped off for us is, like, I found on TikTok there's a decent amount of people who kind of do what we do, where they just ask these thought-provoking questions, but there's no, like, audience. They just ask them, and you kind of think to yourself, oh, that's interesting. But for us, the cool part is asking people and just seeing their reactions or, like, their disbelief of what we just asked them, you know? That's the best part. Like, the faces they make after you ask a question is just, like, better than anything someone else can do, you know?
I mean, yeah, I think the reason why it was hard to remember was because there wasn't much discussion about it. It was just a large consensus agreement, like, yeah, let's do it. Like, we didn't see why not. We weren't expecting anything grand out of it. But now here we are with almost 7,000 followers on TikTok, and we haven't made any, like, much more content since it blew up.
Yeah, and like you said, like, we weren't expecting anything. It just kind of, like, let's just post this for fun. And then it got popular, and we're like, oh, okay.
I was, like, expecting people to think, like, oh, yeah, they think they're funny. I'll support their cringe, stuff like that, that kind of sentiment. But no.
Aaron, I kind of remember you saying something about you would have to make a TikTok with Rochelle if we reached over, like, 100 followers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'll still back that promise, but it was like, yeah, we were gaining followers. And I was like, you know, if we reach 100 followers by the end of tonight, I'll make a dancing TikTok with Rochelle. And then by the end of the day, we got to like 300 or something like that. And I was like, yeah. Oh, okay.
I loved how, like, during, like, when it was starting to roll, us going like, guys, we have 25 followers. See if we can shoot for 30. This is amazing. And then we're like in disbelief when we reached over 70.
What I thought was kind of funny too is the Weird Question Wednesdays were getting what, like, at least 100,000 views kind of around that. Mm-hmm. And then we'd post something that was like a little bit more of a meme that actually had like more editing and stuff involved. And then those got like maybe 1,000.
Yeah.
The ones we put more work into were getting less views than the ones that were just,
they're just thrown together
questions.
Yeah. I think the one that blew up the most, it was the one with the girl that had her eyes really, really wide. I kind of forgot that we were doing Weird Question Wednesday, so I just threw 5 questions together. And then we're just like, okay, let's just go out and do this real quick. Maybe you can try for like the front of building 5 where the lighting is better, the sunshine is shining through, and we can get some, you know, good coloration, good lighting that way. And we just went through our rounds, asked the questions, and yeah, we threw that together, and in like a couple hours, because I had class, a couple hours after I come back from class, it's ready to go, and it just grew.
Was that the one where you asked how fast do hotcakes sell, and she was like, what's a hotcake?
Yeah, what's that hot one? Cakes?
Yeah.
What's a hotcake?
And yeah, then and like, once they're so fun to make too. That's what I love about them. It's just like, sure, they're cringy and like kind of weird, but it's just making them is just such a fun time. And I wouldn't even think it would be that fun, you know?
Yeah. I mean, we have such silly questions. Like, why not share them? I also liked how with this one, like this one that really started getting popular, like getting into like almost 10,000 views and stuff like that. Then our older Weird Question Wednesdays started growing. And then the one that came the week prior to this first popular one started getting more likes and more views. The one with the business career fair that we went to, and we decided, you know what, let's ask some of these employers and see what they have to think.
Yeah, this wasn't a TikTok, but do you remember the one, Justin and Cole, where he talked to the Army recruiter guy about the technology or the iPhone?
Oh my word. Yeah, I should tell them about our idea about, on what to do with one of the sound bites.
All the apps.
What did he say exactly? Yeah. It was like, we had the old iPhone and we said something like, oh crap, what was it? I don't, we need to find the Instagram post again, but it was just like, you know, here's the old iPhone. What do you think about this? And he's like, well, when you compare it to my new iPhone 11 issued by the Army that has all the apps on it. And he just started like promoting the Army just through his cool phone that he had. And then, yeah, he said it has all the apps, and we wanted to take that soundbite and put it over any time one of us accidentally said a curse word on the podcast or anything.
Our censor word is all the apps.
Yes.
Yeah. I remember I had the microphone and he's like going on this big spiel of like promoting this phone in the Army, and then he stops and I just like, so you wouldn't take the new, or you wouldn't take the old iPhone?
Yeah, and it was so funny to see your face too, because he started promoting the Army and your smile just like slowly faded down.
Because like, at first I was okay, and then he just kept going. I'm like, dude, you're gonna make me miss my class now.
yeah.
To be fair, we did go up to the National Guard recruitment booth of our own will.
Yeah,
so it's kind of our fault.
You literally walked into it.
Yeah. I just, he was the only person who wasn't a 20-something. So, like, we were trying to get, like, an older generation's perspective.
Right. And then we paid the consequences, I guess. He wasn't a bad guy by any means. He had to do his job of promoting the Army, and he found his window.
He was way into it. It's just, yeah, that was just kind of an awkward segue into promoting the Army.
But it does have all the apps.
Yes. It does. He's right.
Yeah. I think we should really work on making that a thing next semester when we come back in the fall. Anytime like somebody swears on video or something, like we need to put the black bar over their mouth and like replace the sound with all the apps. That way it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
And it's our staple. It's our accent.
Yeah, that'd be fun, like, even TikTok or Instagram thing to do again with the old technology stuff, because it was just so funny to see people's reactions with that old iPhone. Like, you'd put it in their hands and they'd be like, wow, like, look how small it is.
We could probably, make a little video about the process of taking that sound bite, editing it, and then putting it over the rest of the video. That'd be a That'd probably be a nice little coming back TikTok, probably.
Mm. It's like, I know the weird question ones are more popular ones, but I like making the, like, more skit oriented ones personally.
They were really fun.
The scissors one was really fun. So.
Oh god, I love that one. Yeah.
It's the only one I'm in, yeah. But
uh-uh.
Oh no, there is the one like the head bobbing. And yeah. Oh, and the one looking at the shell. There's a lot more than I thought we did.
You're the Stan Lee of our TikTok. You just have random
cameos
every so often. Yeah. Yeah, I like that scissor one too, because like we just took it so seriously, like, oh, we need to get this angle and we need to do this shot and this slow motion. We just spent like probably like half an hour on it.
And we got really detailed, yeah. I remember
the
first like couple times Cole tossed the scissors. I was like, no, it's not quite right, because if it goes this way, like it wouldn't land right. I got like into it.
TikTok director.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did a couple scissor takes. Yeah. Hey, that's our other than the weird questions, that's our second most popular.
Yeah. I think the cover shot of it is like what will sell a TikTok particularly. Like we decided like with the scissors one, it was you with your sunglasses down looking up.
It's just so much intrigue.
Yeah. And what's not to be intriguing when Rochelle catches a flying pair of scissors?
Saves Justin's life. He would have actually died if Rochelle didn't catch those.
Yeah. I know. I mean,
well, behind the scenes that no one understands. We literally threw scissors at Justin.
That's yeah, you really tried, Cole. We had to try it several times because Justin kept flinching.
I was scared. I mean, scissors were flying at me. 28 is that day.
Yeah.
So I'm on the TikTok page right now. And it looks like the most popular one is, I don't know who you're interviewing, but there's some guy and it has 725,000 views-ish.
Whoa.
And then the non-question one is, the scissor one, that's it, about 6,000.
Wow.
Like, it's so weird because, like, the Weird Question Wednesdays have hundreds of thousands, and then there's the ones that are just like 5,000.
Weird Question, too, which is the one that blew up, was setting off people's Siris on their phone. So
wait,
people.
Really?
Yeah, people were commenting that like, they sent it to their friends because it set off their Siri, and they wanted to set off their friend's Siri.
Yeah.
So that one went slightly viral from sharing it.
Yeah.
But we got less than a minute here on the good old meeting. So it was a fun semester. It was fun hanging out with everyone. Fun doing these podcasts. Fun writing articles.
I mean, when I came in, I didn't really know what to expect. But this was one of the most fun classes I had this semester. So grateful to everyone for a fun time. You know.
Hopefully, we'll all be around for the fall. We'll,
yeah.
See all you then.